Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and for the record, if you hear any news articles about a Florida man trying to have sex with a salmon cannon, I assure you it was not me. Fingers crossed. And with me, I have...
You hear that? That's the sound of no Woodstock. Sounds pretty nice.
It's beautiful. It's like poetry. And,
you know, I make a meet me joke, but that shouldn't be too easy. And yes, I just watching Food Wars. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of jokes that could be having, but yeah, too easy to make. For real, though, meet me.
I'm hungry, and I just had orange chicken a couple hours ago. It's always Chinese food for some reason. I clearly don't eat enough of it. But anyway, this is episode 141. So, how's everything been going with you guys this past week?
Not too bad. Just dealing with the usual work shenanigans. Preparing for a little bit of a mini vacation out to the beach, which is always excellent. But I want to make mention a couple things that I forgot to mention during the album roundup. I mentioned a couple things that was going to be followed up on later. I just want to fix that right now. So when I said in Lil Nas X EP that it had a Nicki Minaj feature that didn't irritate me or annoy me, I forgot to mention that on Chance the Rapper's album, the last track has a Nicki Minaj feature.
Oh, yeah.
It's annoying.
She was on there twice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it really doesn't fit within the context of the album. I also mentioned that he released the album for free through Lyft to try to work the system, and number two.
Yep, got outsold by NF of all people. NF!
Yeah. Isn't that
something? Does NF even have, like, an actual fan base? Because, like, he's one of those guys, like, you hear around a bit, but I can't think of anyone... Like, I've seen on the internet or, like, in person who's, like, a ride-or-die NF fan or even taking a moderate interest in his career. Who the fuck is listening to this guy?
Well, we live in a very strange time in music. I mean, crying out loud. Drake has another number one album of scratch takes.
only in this... But, Alex, look at the bright side, Alex. guess who's number one again on the 100?
Yep. Week number 19.
Week 19!
How long can it go?
We need to go to at least week 23 so we can do the bit where we say, oh, what's going on? Where am I?
We'll have that on standby. Come on. We believe in you, Nas. Well, Lil Nas X. I don't believe in Nas. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Hey, not much happened. I just, worked a lot. I'm still writing a lot. Hopefully my paycheck comes, I should be able to get some shit. Or maybe I can, you know, get Netflix turned again so I can catch up, to what's coming. Hell, I just want to catch that dude Ruckles Modern Life special, which I heard a lot of good things about.
Shit, I still need to watch that. Fuck.
Yes, you should, because where were you when Rocco said trans rights?
Oh, yeah, I heard the chuds got really pissed.
Yeah,
only a couple, but, you know, their words mean less than nothing.
anyway, as for me, well, I had a pretty decent experience over the weekend. I had tickets to go catch the taping of Hannibal Buress' new stand-up special. And it was a hilarious, fun time, including, like, basically the last 20 minutes or so, which was an extended riff on the story of him getting arrested at fucking Art Basel in downtown Wynwood, like, a fucking, that was, like, a year and a half ago, I think, 2 years ago, almost. Yeah, I still remember that very clearly. Fucking, literally everyone was talking about it. Fuckers were selling, like, free Hannibal shirts and crap. It was nuts. But yeah, it was a pretty funny, entertaining weekend. Also, just kind of working out some more cosplay stuff. because I'm going to a con in a couple of weeks. I want to make sure I have my shit clear for that weekend. So that'll be fun to look forward to. But now, with all that out of the way, time to move on to the usual business. A bit of a short week here. I feel like this is like the break that, say, the Straw Hats get after a major arc is completed in One Piece. You know, we get to throw a big party and everything. Except, sadly, we don't have Sanji to make us some bomb-ass food. But now we start with the business of the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us. And, you know, there might be a really big one over at the end. But let's start off nice and smooth. Some nice romantic bedroom music, courtesy of Drom and Her. This is a solo track they released called The Lay Down. And I have to make sure I say that because I fucking put it down in the checklist as The Way Down. Oh, goddamn, I should not do this shit at like 10:30 at night. But yeah, this is definitely some fucking smooth, sexy as hell R&B shit right here. Drom singing more low to mid-range, except for when he, of course, belts on the chorus alongside Her. And oh my god, the two of them sound so great on this. The soul, the charisma, the really dense multi-layer vocal melodies. This is just damn sexy. If you're listening to this song, I guarantee you, you're 9 months later, there's going to be a little Johnny coming out at some point. I'm just saying. And of course, there's another featured artist here, one named Watt, who I'm assuming is the one that performs the guitar solo. And it's kind of an interesting thing because, like, it tries to meld with the R&B vibe of everything, but the actual tone sounds like very Johnny B. Good, kind of. That super stereotypical rock and roll guitar production. It's an interesting touch. I kind of like it.
Oh yeah, this is a banging joint. Like this like a jelly. This is like a jelly donut oozing with soul and soul and funk. Like everything on this track just screams that smooth soul shit that we all needed. And I'm glad to hear Drom doing something. He's doing something like. You know, like, we heard from him musically in a while. Like, I know we heard from him, you know, doing other voice stuff in Laser Wolf. Yeah. And again, beginning a showcase of Her and show how she pulls up. And once again, she does very well. But yeah, they sang. Like, that is some good soul shit right there.
Indeed. Now let's move on to the opposite of soul shit. Turns out that Ghost, that's Ghost without the H, has announced the release date for their newest album, Valediction, coming out October 4th. And we have the lead-off single here, Wrapped in Wax. And yes, this is indeed, at least in part, some of that, you know, grimy, metal-influenced synthwave shit that Ghost is always on. It starts with that very nasty, saturated synth bass grooving at this very halftime bass as it distorts and crackles, even with the more melodic synths riding over top. But then it actually gets into some weird territory, because, like, it's significantly more vocal-driven. Like, there's actual sung clean vocals over top a majority of the song, as opposed to, like, the black metal screeches that he sometimes throws as, like, a garnish on here. I'm actually kind of curious as to how this will play into the broader sound of the album, or if this is just, like, a one-off and the rest of the album will be more stereotypical Ghost. I mean, you hear some of that with, like, the vocal screeching when the song goes into this ominous, like, low-key bridge that lets, you know, the instrumentation, all the synths and the drums and everything build up into that more heavy sort of style. So we'll have to see, but as always, I am an easy mark for this, so I am pleased.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. It's a nice blend of heavier synthwave with downbeat noise rock, and it sounds like something I usually hear in a horror movie. So I dig it.
That is where they usually get these ideas from, so it's appropriate. Now, time to move on to the next track here. We got another Lucy here, this one coming from Fantogram. It's a track called Mr. Impossible, and not much to say about it. You know, it has a lot of this very beautiful, clean, melodic singing with these weird lyrics about, like, being, I don't know, actually literally being the earth, elements, all that stuff. I can never really make out the lyrical intent with these kind of songs. I'm kind of an idiot in that regard. But I'll give it this. It's actually pretty catchy, especially the chorus, which has like these really saturated, buzzy synths. And the actual beat, you know, I only listened to a handful of Fantogram songs, but I don't recall a lot of them having this kind of like deliberate boom bap kind of hip hop drum style, which I suppose would be appropriate. I mean, remember, they are part of that collaborative project with Big Boy called Big Grams, so I guess some of that must have rubbed off on them and their solo shit here. But yeah, it's a pretty catchy song. I kind of dig it.
This is a very catchy and weird and weird song, especially with the lyric video, which was like, I am the sun and I am the moon, and it's a bunch of other lyrics that I can't make them up because, like, they were on the screen, but it's like, okay. This is some more of the color that got more of a beat to it, more some aspect more in hip hop production. But yeah, this is pretty good too.
And now to move on to the next song here, and hoo boy, fellas, get out your 10-gallon hats and your giant jugs of illegal moonshine, because we're talking about some hell yeah. That seems way too enthusiastic. I'm not even a fan of this band. Why did I go that far? I guess because the actual song itself apparently decided to. So, yeah, in case you forgot, Hell Yeah is coming out with their next album, Welcome Home, on September 27th. Sadly, the last album that'll feature any contributions from Vinnie Paul. Rest in peace. And we have the latest single here, Perfect, and pretty much from the start, it be whipping out them banjos, son. Let's fucking get that moonshine and fuck a steer. Not gonna lie, this actually sounds really weird, like, especially once it gets to the verse, where it sounds all, like, fucking blues scale, kind of major key-ish, like, kind of stuff, and you're, like, trying to listen to it, but you're also hearing the vocals trying to be kind of that southern fried hard rock kind of thing, melding against, like, you know, the blues shit, and this sounds like something that would have been, like, I don't know, thrown off of mid-2000s radio for, like, being too weird or whatever. I'm not even sure what they're going for. It doesn't meld. Like, none of this really works, man.
Yeah, it's definitely an album track, and it's alright. The more twangy acoustic sections work well. It's perfectly fine, just right in the middle, I guess. I couldn't really write much about this song. It's just sort of there. It exists. It's there to pad out time.
Yeah, kind of like... Well, I don't really have a joke here or anything. That would be too much effort here. So let's just move on to our next track here. This past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program. This coming courtesy of an artist named Faye Webster called Both All the Time. And yeah, this definitely seems like some prime Saturday night coffee house indie rock type of shit. Really super somber, kind of downbeat indie rock. The vocals are super moody. There's a lot of weird quirks in the percussion, like, you know, triangles and, like, piano keys and shit. There's, like, just that in general, you know, so you feel the seriousness and moodiness of it. And also their saxophone, just so it can be a little bit weird, because, you know, adding saxophone to everything makes it 10 to 15% more interesting. Don't ask me where I get that statistic, just take my word for it. It's okay. I don't really have a strong resonance to it, but I'm sure for people who are into Faye Webster or this kind of music in general, it'll probably meet your needs more than plenty.
Yeah, this is that weird indie kind of, I want to say it's more folk than, it's both folk and indie rock, because I feel a sensibility with that, with the added sax, you know, just to add some, you know, some spice to it. I mean, not that it's bland, because it's not. It's very weird in its own quirky way. I think, there's all I got. It's a good track, though.
But at least now we can move on to something that I'm sure Mark will have definitely more to say about, since it comes from the camp of Top Dog Entertainment.
Woo! Now, a year back, I talk about this guy's last album, his name is Sir, which is spelled capital S little I capital R. Yes, that's Sir. So So recently he announced he got an album coming up, Chasing Summers. No release date yet, but it is also, like SZA, he is his first major label deal with RCA. Wow, a lot of rappers sound with RCA. A lot, yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
Anyway, first single was called Hair Down, and of course, it features a verse from, well, who else? Heavyweight King Lamar. And I say it's this very laid back R&B track, which talks about like, you know, his hair, I guess, like, since in the video he always wears his dreadlocks back and doesn't change the shit, like, because I say, baby, just trying to let my hair down here, like, all that shit, like, it's a very laid back track, and of course, you do get, like, a Kendrick verse, which, of course, like, this year, he's been mostly, you know, kind of, like, taking a break, or at least not doing much outside of verses, like, this is, like, the third or fourth thing he did this year since he appeared on a 2 Chainz album. He appeared at J. Cole Dreamville collaboration, uncredited, and on that line, King the Gift soundtrack. But yeah, this verse, yeah, Kendrick Lamar's verse is all right. Like he does change his flow, at least more recently. But yeah, this track is I can vibe with this track. Like, it's a very vibeful track, and even though I listened to his last album, I didn't go back to it, but the guy, he took me as all right. I can listen to his work, so hopefully he might catch me like SZA did, like, make it happen.
Yeah, we'll have to see where this goes. I'm intrigued. So now to move on to the next song here, and oh boy, it's you, Katy Perry.
She got another song. I fuck after that. Witness disaster.
Oh God! Why did I listen to that album?
Swish!
I could have not. Like, I could have not. I no one made me do that. I did that to myself. Jesus Christ!
We do a lot of things.
This is why I'm hoping they're keeping time travel technology in Area 51. I'm gonna go back and change so many things. But yeah, we got a Lucy track here from Katy Perry called Small Talk, and I'm not gonna lie, the second I hit play on this thing, I immediately felt insulted because of the sound that it was going for. And not necessarily because it's like trying to do the Witness style of harsh, like, you know, kind of downbeat pop shit with like fucking Migos collaborations, or like she was trying to do another Dark Horse. No, quite the opposite. This one is actually trying to be a little bit upbeat and jovial, kind of happy synth pop in a way that almost kind of sounds like Carly Rae Jepsen. And madam, how fucking dare you try to impose on the territory of the fucking queen? You are not worthy to lick her goddamn boots. Literally fuck right the hell off out of here. And I don't care if you're trying to sound all quirky and singing about how, oh, you were strangers with someone, then you started sleeping with them in a relationship, and now you're all awkward exes who can't even make small talk. I do not give a shit in the slightest. If this is trying to be some comeback 180 sort of thing, like Miley Cyrus trying to go back into pop after her whole weird, you know, hip-hop white trash girl phase, then nuh-uh, pass, thank you, next.
Yeah, I can see that Katy Perry didn't try to, I don't know, try to throw Hipachi under the bus like what Miley did, at least. But yeah, this feels like something you see out of a, it's like one of those sitcoms, like one of something with, like, you have the awkward, quirky girl, which Katy Perry, well, I think she's still in that phase. And it just seems like it doesn't work. It's like, I don't know, that one Fox show, that, what's that name of that show with the other girl that looks like her? Oh yeah,
New Girl.
New Girl, yeah, New Girl. Yeah, that show. It's like the
music. Yeah, Kat Dennings, I think.
No, that was That was another show. That was Two Broke Girls, which is terrible.
Oh, wait, the girl. I know if the girl was Zooey Deschanel. That's the one I'm thinking about. With the big ass eyes.
Oh yeah, this is another breakup song. Great. And you want to know who's credited on here as a songwriter?
I'm gonna hate hearing this answer, aren't I?
Charlie Puth.
Oh, why?
I will continue to never take seriously the guy who sang "Let's Marvin Gaye and Get It On," because this song takes the worst shortcut imaginable. Bars that are just blah 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 blah, and I'm sorry, but unless you're Bobby McFerrin doing a song for a Pixar short, no, absolutely not. It's an awful shortcut, and well, quite frankly, that is a bigger indictment than the unfortunate court indictment over Dark Horse, but a different story altogether, now, isn't it? Either way, the song sucks. Let's move on to a song that doesn't suck. Oh, damn it, yes. Katie, you got me all tongue-tied.
Ladies and gentlemen, the last song of the week, the main event is here. The moment we have all been waiting for. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but there's this band called Tool. They recently finally decided to get with the times and put their music up on digital download and streaming services, and it's been working pretty well for them, to the point where I'm pretty sure Enema actually entered the top 10 of the Billboard 200.
Yes, it did.
All their albums are still pretty much in the top of the various iTunes charts. You know, if you still have iTunes instead of what the current substitute program is. And of course, there's the new album, Fear Inoculum, which after a 13-year wait is coming out at the end of the month. Well, finally, after several musical performances at various festivals and having to rely on, you know, concert quality recordings, we can finally say we have a new studio recording of a new Tool song in the year of our Lord, 2019. Appropriately, it is the title track off of Fear Inoculum. And by the way, before we get into that, I just need to read the Amazon description for the physical CD release of the album, because, hoo boy, is this something. Fear Inoculum is the long-awaited new album from Tool and the band's first new album in 13 years. The album will be available digitally and in a special limited edition physical package that includes a CD in a tri-fold soft pack video brochure featuring a 4-inch HD rechargeable screen with exclusive video footage, a USB charging cable, a 2-watt speaker, and a 36-page insert book and MP3 download card. This is a number one bestseller in CDs and vinyl. It is currently sold out on Amazon. This shit costs $45. I get paid amazing. This week, and I wanted to pre-order this. Y'all motherfuckers better have more in the bag somewhere.
Woo, amazing.
But we should actually get into the song itself. And you know what? I'll be nice and let Alex kick things off here.
So, yes. Our first new official studio recording from Tool in 13 years. It's 10 minutes long. And it feels a lot shorter, doesn't it?
I know, right?
Yeah, I thought that was just me, but yeah, the song is just too good. We need more of it. Anyway, the song is, as you would expect, usual Tool chicanery and shenanigans and amazement as it builds and builds with this wonderful Danny Carey drum groove. Y'all know his drum is made out of bronze, right?
That's a pretty expensive kit.
And heavy. Really, really heavy. And it builds and builds throughout, bringing in some of those fantastic Justin Chancellor bass lines and this very, I want to say, subdued vocal approach from Maynard. Is that a right way to say it in the first half? Subdued?
Well, about as subdued as Maynard can get.
Yeah. But as it builds and builds toward the glorious double bass galloping crescendo, as soon as it hits, it stops. this needs to be longer. This is my one complaint about the song. Sure, it's 10 minutes. It's almost 10 and a half minutes long. It goes by at a wonderful pace. I just want more. I know I gotta wait a couple weeks for the album, but oh, I just wish this song could have had a couple more sections to it. And well, I want to make one more thing clear. This song actually entered the Hot 100 at number 93. It's the longest song to enter the Hot 100 in Billboard history.
Kind of funny that that happens at the same time that we're experiencing the reign of the shortest song to ever hit the Billboard charts. But, yeah, I mean, I'm guessing this is not like... I'm guessing this is going to be something that segues into whatever the next song is, because remember, Tool does that a lot, and this album is going to be like 80 minutes across 7 tracks. 7 is the important number here. So, yeah, it's mainly a whole lot of building. You have that opening sort of metallic sheen of various synthetic accentuations, these kind of bells, the delayed guitar lines riding over top, this sort of, you know, the usual weird sort of drum pad and sound effects kind of poking in and out. Carrie's grooves, and of course the incorporation of the more exotic percussion with like the, what are those, congas, bongos? What kind of percussion is that? I don't know, maybe I'll
consult the electronic drum samples, because that's how his kit is set up.
Yeah, maybe I should have consulted the Pitchfork review for that. Sorry, I like getting my licks in where I can. And of course, you know, eventually as the full drums and even the bass guitar kick in, it's pretty much like Tool never left, you know. Those grooves maintain really hard throughout the bulk of the song. The drums are very tom-heavy. The reverbs and delay on the guitar riffs and, of course, on Maynard's vocals throughout a lot of it. It's, they have not skipped a beat. It's all a lot of crescendos and even building to some passages that do have a bit more of a consistent, like, actual groove with, like, the rides and the snare and everything. It grooves in and out of those, like, more full sections and those building crescendo long, extended hypnotic digressions. A lot of it is in 4-4, but then as it gets up to around 6 minutes, that's when the beat switch-up becomes a little bit more rhythmically atypical. And don't ask me to decipher what any of these lyrics are. I'm clearly not Maynard James Keenan. I don't know what any of this means. I don't know what kind of weird philosophy I have to be reading to understand this shit. But yes, once it kind of picks up at the end with, you know, the furious double kicks, that menacing, like, sort of sparse three-chord guitar groove, it even does a little bit of, like, the triplet hammer thing, like you hear in the end of Vicarious. You know the one? The hammer-on thing at the end?
Yeah.
As classic Tool as it gets. Now, please tell me you're going to have more of the CD in stock by the time I get paid. Because I will. I assure you, I will fork money for this. If I will roundhouse kick someone's dad in front of their kids for a physical copy of this album. I will commit high treason. And I will look the judge dead in the face with my album and say, "It was worth it, Your Honor."
My understanding is you might want to watch and or read Dune before listening to the album.
Okay, I guess I'll have to do that then. I have always been meaning to experience Dune in some way, so hey, I finally got an excuse. But that is it for the new song discussion. Of course, probably to go on a big one. So let's cool down with just our one lone news topic here. So there's been a lot of chatter in the internet space about Class of 3000. Not because anything specific happened with the show, like a revival or anything. People just remember that it was a good show. And it was. It was a pretty interesting thing for, you know, Cartoon Network to throw behind a show that's, like, firmly rooted in, you know, Atlanta and its big music stars and everything. But apparently we're not going to get a revival anytime soon. Sadly, we're going to have to settle for Quavo, the Migos guy. Apparently, he's working on an animated series about, you know, it's an imaginary world set in Atlanta's hip-hop music and culture scene. He's collaborating with it alongside the record labels Quality Control and Motown, which, by the way, quick tangent, y'all know Vince Staples finally signed to Motown? Very nice.
Hey. Yep.
and a company called Marginal Media Works. I have no idea what that entity is involved with. But to hear a quote from Quavo, I have long seen how hip-hop as well as music really impacts kids. I loved animation my whole life, whether on TV or in movies, and I wanted my first jump into this premium content world to be a show just for kids. It'll definitely reflect the creativity, love, and families in and around the North side of Atlanta, where he grew up. Well, where we grew up. And yeah, North, N-A-W-F, as he says it right there. But, I mean, okay, cool. He loves animation. I mean, it makes sense. Cartoon Network's based out of Atlanta and everything. But, I mean, I guess the matter is really, like, what kind of animation will this be here? What exactly are you talking about, boy? So, Quality Control Music CEO Kevin Coach Lee additionally commented, saying, "What's important and inspiring to me is that all kids will be seeing themselves in the faces and situations of these episodes. When I was growing up, there was very little media that had brown and black-skinned kids feeling heard or seen, and the ones that did stood out and served as a crucial roadmap through our childhoods. I'm about inclusive stories that address all kinds of situations that kids of all ethnic and financial backgrounds experience, and to give them a common tool to learn and grow. These episodes will impact because they are educational and positive, but with the dopest values and sounds our iconic rap culture provide." Closing out by saying, "Because nobody fucking remembers Fillmore."
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I just made that up. I was remembering this from, like, Tyler, the Creator's speech at San Diego Comic-Con, which, I mean, as snarky as I am, I do have to give to respect to, you know, the quotes they're saying. You know, minority representation in kids' media is always a positive. Plus, have you seen Craig of the Creek? Oh, that definitely. Show's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very awesome.
So, you know, as much as I might snark about it, good luck to Quavo, I guess.
Yeah. And, oh yeah, and, yeah, also, he also serves as a producer series along with long chairman of Magic Entertainment, Brian Grazer, which I'm guessing they under their new division, Imagine Kids plus Kids Family, I guess. Like, okay, it's under there. And I guess in Call of Control gonna have their own expansion to the film and TV, which okay. They gotta now, you know, go on their own thing, doing, you know, a lot of different shit, which I mean, I'm all for I'm definitely all for, you know, Uncle Sawyer, you know, kids of all what was said earlier, yeah, I'm all down for that shit. You know I'm all down for that shit. And as much, even though as much as I will, not exactly a biggest fan of Quavo's music, I mean, I view his first album, I mean, but I'm all for him, like, I'm all for, you know, for trying to work.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just have to see how this effort pans out ultimately. But that's it for all the big topics of discussion. So now we just have to run down one last thing here, and that's the new album releases for the week of August 16th, 2019. Starting at the top, we have the newest project from King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard with Infest the Rat's Nest, their take on thrash metal. We have the newest album from Killswitch Engage with Atonement. A new project from Frank Turner called No Man's Land. A new one from the D-O-double-G Snoop Dogg with I Wanna Thank Me. A new project from OCs with Face Stabber. The newest album from electronic artist Blank Mass with Animated Violence Mild. And the new Sleater Kinney album, The Center Won't Hold. Well, now time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I'm probably going to be spending less time arguing with stupid people on the internet because, God, you all suck at this. You're all giving me terrible insults. But follow along for beach pictures and whatever else stuff I do at the beach. You know, that kind of cool stuff. Vacation stuff.
Beaches are fun.
Yay.
You know, when there isn't pollution everywhere.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Sorry to ruin the mood. Well, Mark, what about you?
That's only in New Jersey.
That's true. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at MacTavinMedia, where I recently just tweet about a chicken Kit Kats, which, really, what kind of nigga shit is that? And also, on my site, the amount of having one at HeavyWireTheWorkPress.com. Recently, I did put a review of the movie I owned a while back, Motherfuckers, which, of course, is awesome. And you should expect the review of Infinity Train, hopefully later on this week. I'm just watching it again, just to get it. Just let it soak it all in. Also, the show's pretty good.
Indeed. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. You can subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're immediately notified when new episodes go up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook. Be sure to visit the website surrealresolution.com for, you know, all the written content, this podcast, podcast ONA, all that shit. Be sure to, you know, jump into our Discord if you ever want to talk shit with us about anything. And of course, a shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you for tuning in this week. You can, of course, tune in next week as well for the usual business. So, until next time, I actually need to finish watching Infinity Train. Holy shit.
Yes, you should. It's good.